And this was also the first mention that Bingo's saliva has healing properties. Now, a few things about this. If Bingo's saliva does indeed have healing properties, I would say maybe it would have been a great idea for them to legit bottle Bingo's saliva for when they like go into battle. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's just not mentioned again and it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. It's real come and go, that one.
Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO Riverdale. I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
And this is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast hosted by two grown-ass comedians who are a little too old for the show. Today, we're reviewing the penultimate episode of Season 5, The Stand. If you like what you're hearing, you can review us on iTunes, that's a great thing to do. Apple Podcasts, you can rate us, you can subscribe to us on any podcast of your choice, and you can communicate with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Insta. Kate, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I do want to say we love when you compliment us on social media as well. We double that up.
Yeah, we had a really nice compliment from our fan, KJ,
this
week, and that was so nice.
It was so nice. It made my day, because I have very little going on. I'm good, you know.
Yeah, totally. So we're just going to get right into this episode here. What did you think of this one? How did you feel about it?
It was such a letdown.
I really liked it. I really liked this episode.
I felt like it was building and building and building, and there was just like... and it was like, that's it? And then, like, it wasn't it, but it still was like, that's it?
I thought this was interesting because, of course, what I wanted to see for this final war was something quite epic and, you know, kind of mythic and grandiose and strange. You know, I had images of, like, Jughead getting crucified, you know, like, big biblical stuff. And instead, it certainly told a smaller story with less characters than I expected. However, what they did with the characters and the way it was paced and the twists and turns actually worked really well for me.
I feel like they did a good job of covering for the space-time continuum fuck-ups. Like, it was at one point Tabitha's just like, I don't understand it. We don't know, but it seems to be working. And I was like, at least you acknowledge that because you asked more questions than you answered.
Absolutely. It's always great when they use the term time loop and time bubble, but don't really explain what that means within the context of the episode.
We'll have like a real, I'll get to my like real big question when the time bubble comes up.
Sure. I mean... the time bubble did allow for, like, there to be that scene where they set up Pops really fast, Keystone Cop that, style, fine. And I did enjoy that.
Fine. That one, no questions, no notes. The other time bubble?
Yes, real nutso.
A lot of questions.
Yeah, a lot of questions. All right, well, let's get into it then.
So Percival levitates.
Yeah.
Part of it.
For his first time.
Yeah.
Also, some great exposition from Jughead. This might be the last article I ever write, because he's still writing articles, I believe, for the Riverdale. Remember the Riverdale Register? What was it called again?
The Register, yeah.
The paper that was supposed to be the paper for truth and justice in Riverdale and, you know, the left leading rag.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we have not heard about since.
Over a season. Yeah, absolutely.
Well over.
Yes. And, like, Percival has put the entire town under a spell so that no one can get in or out. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it would have been so great to have, you know, but this is a real show-don't-tell thing, to have a character try to get in and for like the town to be vanished or for them to keep looping around Schmigadoon style, or
did they just slam into an invisible wall?
Yeah, totally. Like, but instead we just talked about it, which is fine, you know. And then we get this, Archie's playing with his toys. He's like very seriously moving some pieces around a war board, but but then the sort of strategies they come up with aren't really military strategies.
Not at all, not once. And they have to seal the Hellmouth beneath, I guess it's under the White Worm at this point.
Yeah, but it gave us the answer to that question that we had, which was, what's going on with the White Worm, which is that it was perfectly untouched.
Yep, just perfectly. There's just a nice plywood roof or something. I don't know.
Yep.
Perfectly untouched. Hellmouth leave mouth below it. So they have on hand, as we all do, the Holy Grail.
Okay. Do you remember when they got the Holy Grail? Because there was some sort of plot point where the Holy Grail was in Percival's shop, I believe.
There must have been. And they also, I will say, they called it a Holy Grail.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Like the kind of Holy Grail that you get if you go to, like, you know, Frank's Holy Grail supply store, you know, on Route 7 in Schenectady, New York, you know?
You go to, like, fan appreciation night at the real long table where they had the Last Supper, and you get, like, a replica Holy Grail cup for your...
I thought you were going to say fan appreciation night for Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and they just give everybody little cups.
I mean, that makes way more sense than fan appreciation night for the Last Supper, but, you know.
I think both jokes were great.
they both work.
Just an alt for me, yeah. Anyway. And then lots of stuff this week with Cheryl using her fire powers, which I did enjoy, because we haven't seen it in a while. So she sets the curiosity shop on fire. And then we learn after that scene that Percival did behead those guys, which is mad creepy. And Betty doesn't seem like really that upset about it.
She's real up and down this episode.
She is.
So the next note I have is the scene with Tony and Fangs and Kevin. And they say, Kevin, you seem real bummed out about your dad losing his head. So we called in reinforcements. And I wrote, is it Moose? And then, but I will say, I was eating soup at the time. And I dropped the spoon and yelled, is it Moose? And then it was. But it was dramatic in my apartment.
Moose was looking real good with his cute beard.
Loving Moose. I mean, absolutely. When do we not? But like, this Moose is like maybe the best Moose.
I would agree with that. This Moose is the best Moose. Very, very sexy. And a man, a silent man who has one line in this whole episode.
And you know who is not silent and has many lines?
In this episode?
Jason Blossom.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying that Moose did have a lot of lines.
No,
okay.
No, Moose. No, yeah, Moose.
Yeah, Jason. This was a lot of Jason. And this guy. This guy was good in this episode, actually.
I would give him an Emmy.
But... Yeah, give him an Emmy for this, absolutely.
But back to where we were.
Yes.
They have, so Percival has, like, all of the other people from Riverdale under mind control, but, like, also sets them up as ghoulies, so we do get Principal Weatherby, like, dressed like a Russian.
Yes, which was the best.
And so unnecessary, like, it just, like... There was no reason for it other than, like, weird trickery that lasted 10 seconds.
Quick to, or, like, quickest cut to ever. But it was Weatherby. And I was going to ask you, who else did we spot anyone else that we knew?
That's the thing is, I don't think we did.
Yeah, I think
it was like,
just Mr. Weatherby and just some other people.
Yeah, which is so fun.
Also, scene before, just one little thing. I did appreciate that they were talking about separating Riverdale into two parts, one part for Percival and one part for them, and the reference to the North and South side, just to give the show some continuity. Like that a lot. That's all.
Yep.
And that was great.
Percival explains, because Veronica goes in to like talk to him, and he explains all these steps he took, which gets down to he laminated himself. to like
Yes.
protect himself from Veronica.
Creepy plastic guy.
But what it does come like set up is that he is weak to their superpowers. Like, we kind of thought he was, but it wasn't like very well explained. And so we do know that he is weak to like Veronica's poison.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they offer up Archie in return for the dead bodies.
Which means that then Percival gets to talk about his Asgardian mace.
Yeah, yep, that was a real, there were a few real Marvel and at one point a Harry Potter reference really jammed in here hard.
Yeah.
And Asgardian lore is like real, but they really leaned into it pretty hard in this moment.
Well, it's the sort of thing that they have the ability to use because it's just myth. So they're going to do it because it's so in the public consciousness right now. So of course there's going to be an Asgardian mace in this show. And then Veronica very much telegraphed that she was going to shoot him. And then she had a beautiful flower gun.
It was a little Looney Tune gun.
It was a little Looney Tune gun, absolutely. So then we have this scene where Betty is behaving a little differently than she did in the last scene regarding her mother, where she wanted to see her mother to, you know, for closure and to see and to possibly say goodbye. And then Betty is very upset because her mother's head is being kept somewhere else.
Yeah. And then they let Kevin just be the one to check on his own dad. Like, no one is like, let's have someone whose parent is not beheaded in the box look.
Yeah.
But they just like let him go for it. And then Moose gave him a very loving hug, but it was like, I don't know, Moose, maybe you should have checked. Just
yeah,
thought.
Moose could have done it if, yes, absolutely.
He didn't need to identify the body. Like, it would have been fine if Moose checked if there was a head.
I know that this episode has a very different tone for very different reasons, but I believe, remind me if I'm wrong, that nice episode that dealt with Luke Perry's death, I believe Archie couldn't go in to look at his dad, and Betty and Veronica went in and did it instead.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and that was actually a really nice moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they did it for him.
Yep, but he can't repay the favor.
Oh, cut to Jughead casually making sandwiches on the eve of his destruction.
Yep.
I really liked Jughead in this whole episode. And I think Cole Sprouse is having fun. I think Cole Sprouse is really enjoying himself. Yeah.
I think for the first time in a long time, Cole Sprouse is liking what he's doing.
Yeah. Like last few episodes, he's had a real zip to his performance.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting. And I liked this little speech where he was like, you know, if this is what needs to happen, this is what needs to happen. Like, I thought that was all really, really, really good. And I also just like that Jughead was preparing food because that's what the character should be doing all the time.
Yep.
Like, wouldn't it be so much more – I've ranted about this on this podcast before. Wouldn't it be so much more delightful if just, like, every scene they could have Jughead doing something with food, they could just do it? Instead of it just being a treat for me every like 7 episodes, like anyway. So then we have Jason Blossom pop in and shoot Heather, which
is
pretty scary.
So many words. I wrote so many words.
So we had Jason Blossom who starts chasing after Cheryl, very creepy. And then we had Zombie stitched together Glenn.
Which, when we saw the little, like, voodoo dolls that Percival was putting together, I was unsure who that was.
Sure.
And at first, because we saw Reggie,
yep.
and we knew. Yeah, we knew. Bingo gets to tell him Reggie. And then it looked like, to me, I assumed that was, like, Jason put back together.
Yeah.
And then it looked like the back of Archie, and then one of them looked like Jughead, but it was like Reggie was the only one I was right about.
Totally, totally.
Jason was there, but I think Jason's who I thought Archie was.
Yeah, the red with the, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and then what I thought was Jughead was in fact Veronica's Abuelita.
Yes, yes, yes. Because Cole Sprouse looks like an Abuelita.
Yeah.
So then, just a little fun reference here. Betty starting the chainsaw so that she can cut Glenn apart. and she says, "Come get some." I believe that's a reference to Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, the way she held the chainsaw, I was like, "This is definitely an Evil Dead thing going."
Yeah, and that's pretty fun.
Yeah,
and also this is another part of the episode I enjoyed. I loved the fight between Archie and Reggie, because I do like Reggie on the side of the angels as well, but I do feel like they really are. There's something about Reggie and Archie where they really are supposed to be opposed, and seeing them fight, like, as a fan, there was a satisfaction to that, at least for me.
It was also the most grounded of the four fights.
Definitely. I mean, although there was that scene where Reggie, like, stabbed Archie repeatedly in the same place.
Right, but also, it still makes more sense to me that Reggie would repeatedly stab Archie than Glenn would come back to life and Betty would use a chainsaw, or Veronica's Abuelita would use a shotgun, or that, what was it, or that Jason Blossom would use archery. Like, it was just like, I don't know, someone stabbing someone a couple times felt like pretty weird.
Definitely. Yeah, felt a little more visceral. I do agree with that. And then, and we'll see how the show deals with this, if at all. Cheryl has brought her brother back from the dead, which is really something that she's wanted for the entire arc of the series. And then she is forced to incinerate her brother, which is incredibly sad. And it just seems like she leaves that experience being like, well, I had to do what I had to do, the end.
That's the thing, is everyone else snapped out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she just straight up killed Jason. Like, yeah. Are we going to see Jason again? Like, what is this?
Yeah, because definitely, like, I feel like, you know, they were able to, like, get Reggie out of his mania, like, et cetera, as you were saying. So then, like, wouldn't Cheryl be like, oh my God, was something, I did this and it was so needless. And also, Polly seems to be totes cool with it.
Yeah.
Right? Polly's like, okay, well, I'm still alive and my husband's dead and that, I hope Betty's doing okay. Like, it's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They probably forgot they did it.
And then, did you think it was super gross when Bingo started licking Archie's wound?
Oh my God. Right away. So Tabitha feels that there's, like, something amiss and that one of the souls of the town is dying.
Yes.
So she goes to, like, help Archie. And yeah, like, Bingo immediately starts licking him and she just, like, lets it happen.
Yeah, she's like, okay.
And I was very quickly like, because remember, like, when the house first collapsed, they were like, it's weird that Bingo healed really fast and then he never talked about it again. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remembered that very quickly and was like, oh, that's what it is. But it was also like, they remembered that? Bingo's not around reminding them that he's Wolverine. Like, this hasn't been happening. And they were all just like, it's cool, we'll let Bingo lick his wounds.
And this was also the first mention that Bingo's saliva has healing properties. Now, yeah. A few things about this. If Bingo's saliva does indeed have healing properties, I would say maybe it would have been a great idea for them to legit bottle Bingo's saliva for when they, like, go into battle. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's just not mentioned again and it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. It's real, come and go, that one.
Yeah, exactly. and then they talk about aging up baby Anthony, but they don't call him grown-up Anthony.
Okay, and they also, Tony also says the phrase, and I wrote it down, you always kill a baby snake in its egg so it doesn't grow up to bite you. And I'm like, you're serpents. Is snakes in the egg the thing you want to kill? Like, this feels like a real weird metaphor.
Well, also, you always want to kill the baby snake. It's like, so maybe they can go back in time, which is sort of what they ended up doing to kill Percival. But
yeah,
I thought they were going to go back. Why didn't they go back in time and kill Percival when he was a little boy?
And also, why would they talk about killing snakes when they are the serpents themselves?
Oh, no, for sure. No, I do agree with that.
Yeah. So they decide to speed up time just for Anthony.
Yes.
And this is the time bubble I have a lot of questions about.
Oh, yeah!
Because adult Anthony comes out of that back room. We don't see him age, which is fine. That's got to be expensive. Who caught him up?
Yeah.
Who taught him to walk and speak? But yeah. Is he potty trained? Like, what? How? Did she does like baby Anthony go through like a time warp where he did age in time and then like pops back and he aged in a timeline where like he keeps going? If that's the case, then he knows how this ends.
They also could have, yeah, like that's the thing, is they clearly didn't want to have a character that knows how everything ends. But then they're aging up a baby, but he wasn't a baby. He was just a nice young man.
Yeah.
It was very strange. And also, I mean, come on, the writers. They missed such a great opportunity for him to come out of the room and for, like, either him or for, like, Fangs or Tony to be like, oh, it's adult Anthony.
It's big kid Anthony.
It's big kid Anthony.
Did they give clothes for Tabitha for when he was ready for adult clothes?
I wasn't going to bring that up, but that's what I assumed. That they gave him some clothes so that then he could get dressed, and they gave him, like, cool serpent clothes.
There's just too many questions about this time bubble.
So then they... they get into, I thought this was really fun, Jughead and Tabitha go back to Rivervale to figure out different scenarios, which I thought was very interesting and like a fun idea.
Yeah.
And then we learn that the comet is off course. And that actually could have been a really interesting plot point that, you know, of course there's a few differences in between Riverdale and Rivervale. And what if that had been a difference that Percival had not accounted for? That would have been interesting to me. But instead, they tell Percival, it's like, the comet's not here yet, Percival, and Percival's like, it's been giving me strength for weeks, like, which is sort of a shame. I would have been much more interested if it had been like, that had been the thing to sink Percival, because that would have been interesting considering that he's an alternate universe character. But oh well.
Yep.
And then, The serpents go in. So Tony is like, we just want to disable these people. They are mind controlled. We really don't want to hurt them. And then literally 30 seconds later, they bust in and Tony throws fucking throwing stars at Twyla Twist.
I think what I will say is I think maybe Twyla Twist was not necessarily mind controlled like the other ones. Like, she was still like the active ghouly left, but she does yell, "Don't even try it, bitch," and throws ninja stars quite accurately because she's apparently been practicing.
And also, this doesn't just murder Twyla. Like, that's a throwing star into your forehead, that's it. The death time, you know? And Twyla's like, ah! And then, like, we don't know any... Well, that's it for Twyla in the episode.
And then we hear in the background all the sirens coming. Who are the police? What are these sirens?
Mm-hmm.
Who's on their way?
Yeah, who... Are the police aligned with Riverdale and they're fighting against Percival?
Who's left? The police are beheaded... And Percival, those were like the only cops.
Yeah, because that was a big plot point in this season, is like, oh, they're the deputies now.
And I don't know who that is.
Very, very weird. Yeah. And then Kevin gets shot, which would have been a great moment to use Bingo's saliva, but oh well.
Nope.
And then Percival has a face-to-face with adult Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Percival gets very frightened by adult Anthony, disappears, and is naked.
Yes, he appears in what looks like a hell door. Apparently, he seals in the casino.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what's happening is that he's fully naked, and there's like a battle happening in the room, and he's like, it's fine. And everyone in the fight's like, oh, is someone... We'll let him go. Like...
Yep. And then, no more adult Anthony for the rest of the episode. So he didn't totally really factor in that much.
Nope, they gave so many lines to Jason that they just could not afford this day worker.
Yeah, exactly. They can't afford any more with adult Anthony. No. I wonder if adult Anthony's going to become like a semi reoccurring in the next season now.
Oh my god! Because what are they going to do? Re-baby him?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Know too much. Think of a baby that smart.
I think it would be. Yeah, I know a baby that then grows up knowing what he knows. It's too much for that baby. It would be insane. But I think that we've had enough plot lines with baby Anthony and it's enough, and now we can have adult Anthony running around doing serpent stuff, maybe. That'd be kind of nice. So
Tabitha explains that Rivervale, like, they know how to defeat Percival in Rivervale. And she says it's because Rivervale has different energies, specifically that in Rivervale, the supernatural exists. And I have to wonder, what is all of this in Riverdale if not the supernatural?
Well, okay, so I have an additional question to that, because they did say in the last few episodes that what they think happened is that when this explosion created the rift between Rivervale and Riverdale, the supernatural stuff bled into Riverdale, right? Mm-hmm. But what this doesn't explain is what's really going on in Greendale across the Sweetwater River. Because now it's been established that Sabrina, there is some version of Sabrina who is a witch, mm-hmm. who exists in, like, Riverdale's Greendale.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, along with Heather. And they've both been witches for a time much longer than the explosion. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
It's there, yeah. Yep, nope, the supernatural is already in Riverdale.
Yes, absolutely. And then they realize that they have to move the diner back to its original location for this plan to work. Mm-hmm. So then we get the Keystone Cop scene, which I thought was very, 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 very silly. And this is almost at this point kind of an issue with the characters being overpowered. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's insane. Like, I think that Tabitha could probably deal with Percival on her own at this point. If she can mm-hmm. speed up, slow down time, create bubbles of time around people, why not create a bubble of time around Percival so that he's moving really slowly? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much yeah. that could have been done. But anyway. So then, you know, we get this confrontation between Arch and Percival, and Percival, you know, this is when he talks about the comet's been bolstering him for weeks now, and I was like, all right.
I have to say, this fight scene, so they're swinging the Asgardian mace and the baseball bat at each other, and Percival's like, wow, in front of your friends, and fully freezes up when the others are not in the window, it pops. And it is just like, why are you so surprised by this enough to fully stop fighting? Mm-hmm. Like, he's so startled that humans have legs, like mm-hmm. just so weird that
very silly
didn't notice.
And then we got the punching circle.
Mm-hmm. This is our town, bitch. I noticed this episode used bitch a lot for a show that airs on network.
Did it use it twice?
Yeah.
Wow, that must be the limit, right?
It's gotta be.
That's the bitch limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So I was a little confused. How were they able to all of a sudden sort of beat him up like that? Do you know what I mean? Like, they were in a circle and it just seemed like...
It seemed like they just surprised him, and then he was like, couldn't overpower them because he was surprised, but then he did.
Yes, because he's a magic man.
Yeah.
Which was, I loved that. He went, I'm a magic man, and I giggled. And you know who it reminded me of? Did you ever watch Adventure Time? There's a very silly character on Adventure Time named the Magic Man. I was like, ooh, Percival is a magic man. But then Percival turned them all into little statues and dolls and things. It was awful. How terrible.
He reversed everyone's thing. So, like, Betty became blind. Cheryl was frozen. Veronica was poisoned. Archie was an Iron Man. Reggie became a giant doll. What was Reggie's superpower?
Reggie's superpower was that he was no longer dyslexic, I believe.
Or was he genuinely, like, his ability to throw his voice that
was,
well
was
instantly?
Superpower.
Because remember, sure. It took him, like, no time to learn how to do it.
That's true. It was very fast.
So maybe that's what it was? I don't know, man.
Well, he became a dummy.
And then Jughead's left, and we kind of find out why, but my thinking at the time was, what is the reverse of Jughead's thing?
He should have turned Jughead into a burger.
It's just the reverse of mind reading is be a burger.
Wouldn't that be so good? Like a burger with a little crown on him?
Great.
No, I'm a burger! Anyway. So then the ghosts are witnessing, and it's just, I just like that I was reminded that that was a plot line with the ghosts of the diner, because I
Yeah,
completely
totally forgot
forgot
about
about
them.
that. Yeah, I completely forgot about them. And they, you know, and then Jughead is like, has a bunch of dominoes lined up,
Yep.
and they're gonna have a little mind fight, not a domino game. And then we had the we had the like the circle of stabbing, and it was all of the Rivervale people.
Right. So what it is that like, so Percival goes into Jughead's mind, and Jughead goes into Percival's, and they're both locked
Yes.
out. And then Percival gets into Jughead's and goes in and starts ripping little Jughead comments. And then Jughead comes in and is like, "We got you." And Percival's like, And Jughead's like, And Percival's like, "No." And Jughead's like, "But we did." And then we come back to the diner, and the diner has the Rivervale people in it. And they all stabbed Percival while Percival was like busy in Jughead's brain.
The Rivervale people who are so, like the continuity of Rivervale is confusing, because Rivervale had all those little fun sort of disparate cautionary tales where like Archie was killed in the first episode, remember that? And then like, you know, Tony turned into La Llorona, and like, you know, but
Yeah,
yeah.
yep. But then
Anyway,
they were
they were just
back.
like doubles of the Riverdale characters,
Right.
yeah.
What it ended up being was that Jughead created a portal in the doorway to Pops. So when Percival went in to get Jughead, he crossed over into Rivervale.
Yes, he
So
was in
everyone was
Rivervale.
alive there.
Yes, absolutely.
And then as they go outside, Tabitha brings him back to 1580 to meet Mr. Cipher in the woods.
And I did like the interchange between Mr. Cipher and Percival, just because they're two characters that sort of embody really similar aspects of the show, and it was fun to see them sort of interact with each other, I thought, for that scene.
Yeah, and this is the scene when Tabitha's like, "I don't know, but it seems to be working," and I did appreciate
Yeah, I
that.
liked that a lot too. And then the war was over, so it was time for hugging and cheering, which was
Right, because
great.
Mr. Cipher just like rips up his little contract and physically drags Percival to hell.
And like, I loved all of them being like, "The fighting's over, yay!" And they all gave each other very cute little
But
hugs.
like it was just like, oh, and then like this is it. But
Yep.
like, so what then happens here is that they find their heads in freezers. And Betty supervises Dr. Curdle sewing them back on because, for whatever reason, they stopped trusting Dr. Curdle within the last episode. But,
He's
like,
gonna sew on Josie and the Pussycat cat ears onto them
which is
instead.
so fucking funny.
Yeah.
So, what I'm struggling with here is that it felt like when they killed off Percival, all of the like reverse curses they had went away. Which made it seem like all of their powers would have gone away too then. But I guess they didn't because Cheryl can still bring these people back to life.
That is correct, yes.
So that's that on that. And then we see there's something wrong with the comet. And I'm like, oh no, is it coming for Earth?
I love the comet cliffhanger. I thought that was really, really fun.
Especially because it was very predictable.
I thought the comet was going to dust everybody that had been resurrected and turn them into zombies. That's what I thought was
Oh,
going to
that would have been
happen.
fun.
I think they're still setting it up, but we'll see what happens. And then Tabitha, very rightfully so, asks Jughead, "How are you doing?" And Jughead's like, "Well, things are a little fuzzy, but like, he ripped up a few of his memories. I hope that, you know, I hope everything goes okay for him. Poor guy."
Yeah, maybe they
I
were
don't
just
know.
like worthless memories, like that
Well,
would
they
have
weren't
gotten him
though.
kind
We
of far.
saw one of them was like a nice moment with Tabitha, and one of them was him graffitiing. Jughead was here onto the side of the drive-in.
But at the same time, without those memories, he's still like, they're
He's
kind of
still
inconsequential. Like,
weird. He's still
he's
a
still a
weirdo.
weirdo.
Yeah.
He still had a lot of like good memories with Tabitha, I assume. Like,
I hope so. I hope so.
So, but what Tabitha realizes is yes, so the comet's coming for Riverdale, and what she realizes is that that destitute future was not the aftermath of the war, but the aftermath of the comet hitting. And I am unsure how the comet wipes out everyone in Riverdale, but not Pops, which is apparently fairly flimsy.
Yes, Pops is just going to stay standing.
Yeah.
And be around the wreckage. And it, of course, reminds me of that wonderful joke from The Simpsons where the comet burns up in the atmosphere and becomes like a pebble and hits Homer in the face.
Yeah.
One can only hope that happens here. I wanted to hit like Archie in the face for him to be like, oh, ow.
But I feel like it would make the most sense for it to hit Reggie.
I agree. And for Reggie to be like, oh, guys. So I only have my power list is silly. What's your power list?
It's kind of loose. So I mean, right away, yeah. Vegas and then Bingo. And then I have Jughead, Tabitha, and Percival, because they all, like, do important things.
Sure! Yeah, my power list is just Bingo because of his healing saliva.
We should mention that Percival is how the comet's hitting Earth because Percival said a curse right before he was dragged to hell.
Yes, which we saw him fucking doing, and, like, Tabitha wasn't like, don't you fucking start, Percival, which is exactly what she should have done. And, or Mr. Cypher should have been like, but, like, no.
It felt like what I thought was he was trying to, like, curse away Mr. Cypher in the moment.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was not. And who's on your crush list?
I mean, fucking guess who number one is.
Moose.
Absolutely.
Mine as well. Yep. Yep.
And then I have Tuxedo Jughead.
Oh, yes. Tuxedo Jughead is a very dapper Jughead.
Yeah. And I have Cheryl this episode.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. She was looking pretty wonderful.
So who do you have besides Moose?
Adult Anthony.
Okay. I considered it, but I wasn't into him, but I did just consider it so I could write Adult Anthony.
Yes. Yes. So well, what's up for this next episode?
Who's your third? Or do
That's
you only
it.
Have two?
Just Moose and Adult Anthony.
I mean, Moose takes up two.
Yeah. Moose takes up all of my heart.
Yeah.
So what's up next week for our season finale?
Chapter 117, Night of the Comet.
Ah, what a treat.
Clever name.
Well, this has been another lovely episode, Kate. Kate's rolling her eyes a little.
I don't know how to respond to that. Thanks. I don't.
It was great. No, it was fun.
Good work, team.
Yeah, good work, team. Thanks to Angelie Mercado for continuously editing our nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And our theme song writer, Louis Aronowitz, for doing nothing at this point, but you know. Yeah.
If you like what you're hearing, please, you know, you can rate us on any podcatcher of your choice and subscribe. That's so helpful for us. And you can, you know, communicate with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
Bye.
Bye.